Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program. So today I have part two of my talk that I gave at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes. Back on Tuesday evening, it was on the gospel of life and our journey through Lent. I was building off of two different popes, Pope St. John Paul II and Evangelium Vitae, the gospel of life. And this year's Jubilee theme for Lent, journeying together in hope. So I hope that you'll enjoy part two. I'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the... Actually, you know what? I'm going to pray as I get started in part two. So I don't actually have to pray right now. Let me just lay out what's going to happen. So for the first 30 minutes-ish of the program, so just over the first half of the program, I'll be talking about ways that we can live out this gospel of life today in the light of the pressing issues of the day. And in terms of Pope Francis's theme on journeying together in hope. So what does it mean to be a pilgrim, and how do we live our lives as a pilgrim on this journey of faith? And I touch upon the theme of penance, and so I don't have a chance to unfold it very greatly. So after I have a chance to finish the presentation, I'll come back at the end and give a couple of closing comments, and then I'll talk quite a bit more about the theme of penance, and I'll lay out 9 different meanings of penance that I hope you'll find to be a blessing. All right, back in a minute. Actually, not back in a minute, back in 30 minutes after the talk. All right, let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you and praise you for the gift of the time that we have together and for the preciousness of each human life. Lord, give us the grace to walk together on this journey, and let us journey together in hope. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so journeying together in hope. You have one chance to live Lent 2025. Here's one way of saying it. This is kind of cute. Jesus has a desert with your name on it. It's that personal. The journey that he has for you is that personal. And I want you to believe that. It's not just, oh, he's calling us all to Ash Wednesday and abstinence on Fridays and prayer, fasting, almsgiving, right? Those are the general things. Yes, it's all true, but it's always personal. It's always personal. And so he has something for you to experience this Lent. Now, if you haven't yet figured out what you're going to do this Lent, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. All right. So one is this. I did this twice and only twice. Give your guardian angel permission to humble you once each day. What? Give your guardian angel permission to humble you once each day. I thought, oh, this can't be that bad. It was incredible. I had no idea how many ways I could be humbled. The humility became this gem and jewel with all these facets on it. And it's like, how am I going to get humbled this day? And it wasn't always that I was humiliated. A couple times I got humiliated. But the idea of being humbled, recognizing my limits, is a really important gift. In fact, let me just give you the bottom line on that story about fasting and failing at fasting. Failing at fasting generates humility. Ooh. I just read this in a book recently. I'd never read this in a spiritual writer before. Father Walter Chizik wrote it in his book called With God in America. Not With God in Russia. But when he came back, he wrote about being in America. It's incredible. This book is amazing. But in his book, With God in America, he's talking to these religious sisters. And he says, look, sometimes you're going to get this spiritual desire that came from God. And you're going to pursue this desire and you're going to fail utterly. And you're going to say, Lord, how come you gave me a desire and I failed utterly? How that could not have been your plan. Your plan was if you gave me the desire, you'd give me the grace to fulfill the desire. And Father Chizik's like, you simpleton. That's not what happened. The Lord gave you the desire so that in pursuing it, you'd fail. And then you'd learn humility. Wow. I never heard that. I'd experienced it a whole bunch. But I never heard that beautiful insight. That sometimes God will give us desires to pursue that we won't in fact achieve, but they in fact achieve what the Lord has for it to achieve, namely the humility of realizing that we don't have the strength to achieve this on our own power. We must rely on God. That is so very important. That also helps us when we have big desires in pro-life issues. How do we take on poverty, homelessness, addiction? How do we take on fentanyl, which is just, again, you don't think that fentanyl is, oh, that's just some kind of news item. No, that's Spokane. That's middle school kids in our community being impacted by fentanyl. What? Yeah, I just got an email about it yesterday. I read it to my kids. I wanted them to know this because they're very much protected from it. Who does that impact? And if the answer is not us, then we're missing what's at stake right now in this moment. This is an us thing. We journey together in hope. All right. I talked about doing this Camino. It was a 500-mile walk. It was so impactful in my life, I wanted to do it again. I said, Carrie, I'm going again. She said, do it on the treadmill. Do you know how many days there are from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday? 48. If I walk 10 miles a day on the treadmill, that's how many miles? 480. Guess how long the Camino is from southern France to Santiago? 480 miles. I'm doing a Camino in my living room on the treadmill, 10 miles a day. And I have in front of me this Holy Face image. If you haven't learned about the Holy Face devotion, you got to find out about it. It's so powerful. It's all about penance. It's all about penance. It's all about penance. And two things about it. Two things. The first is I'm walking and I'm contemplating the face of Jesus. I'm walking, contemplating the face of Jesus. And as I'm walking and contemplating the face of Jesus, how much closer to Jesus am I getting? Not even an inch. Every day, am I getting any closer to Jesus? Not even an inch. But what's happening? Do you remember that phrase I used? There's a stripping down and an unveiling. A stripping down and an unveiling. Another Latin word for you. Another Latin word for understanding growth and holiness in our Catholic tradition. Ablatio. Ablatio. The process of removal. You don't become holy, you don't grow in holiness by doing more things than you did last year. I'm holier next year than I will be this year because I'm doing more than I did last year. No. What's happening is you're stripping away the things that are hiding the unveiling of God's holiness who already lives in you. Did you catch that? Christ lives in you. Jesus Christ lives in you. So, well, what's happening to me as I walk on that treadmill, right? I'm not getting any closer. I'm not growing because I'm getting closer. But what am I doing? I'm losing weight. I'm gaining strength. And I'm praying. I'm praying and I'm praying in the journey. I'm praying. And what's happening? I'm becoming more radiant. Don't I look more radiant? Obviously not enough yet. That humility part, I'm working on it, right? So in fact, you'll discover that there will be this increased sense of the Lord stripping away the desires that are desires that are associated with my comfort and ease and self. Do you think I enjoy walking 10 miles uphill every day? Yeah, it's on an incline, right? I don't like it. I've got blisters on my feet. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. It hurts. It's exhausting. Do I do it for myself? No. I don't do it for myself. I do it for my wife and my kids. I do it for the Lord. I do it in order to follow Jesus into the desert that has my name on it. Oh, that's why I'm doing it. Because there's something at stake in this Lent. There's something at stake in my life this Lent that the Lord has for me, and I don't want to miss out. And I don't want you to miss out. So, what do we do not to miss out? Well, the church says our call in every age, this is Gaudium et Spes, paragraph 2. What's Gaudium et Spes? It's the pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world. It's the last of the 16 documents of the Second Vatican Council, 62 to 65. You remember that? Yes, you do. And in paragraph 2, it says, in every age, the church has the responsibility of reading the signs of the times and interpreting them in the life of the gospel, in the light of the gospel, if we're going to carry out our task. So we've got a task to do. And what do we have to do? Discern, recognize what's at stake right now as we look around, and then figuring out, in the light of the gospel, what are we supposed to do to act? Act! Not just sit, not just talk, but act. And when I take a look at the issues of our time, it's going to take action. Statistically, this is a very painful reality in the church. The latest Pew survey came out, and it talks about the fact that there's finally a little bit of a leveling off of the drop in the number of Catholics and Christians in this country. Let's celebrate. We are losing Christians, self-identifying Christians, at a different rate. Yay. That's the sum total of our lives. We've been living our lives this long, trying to be witnesses to Christ in the world. And the best thing we can celebrate is we're draining the number of believers at a slower rate. Churches are closing on the West Side, and they're calling it partners in the gospel. We're partners in the good news that, hey, where there used to be three churches, now there is one. So now we can be closer together, because we're all empty if we're in just these churches by ourselves. Is this good news? This is terrible news. Who's this on? This is on us. This is on us. What can we do about it? Like, this is, again, so big. What can we do about it? You can't do everything, but you can do your part. You can do your part. And what is our part, first of all, because I don't want you to feel overwhelmed and thinking, okay, I've got to take on all of this action. The first action that will have you bear fruit, did you hear it? Bear fruit, not results, fruit, is becoming a saint. You got to grow in holiness. No matter what else happens in your life, today, commit to growing in holiness. How do I do that? What does that actually look like? Gee, follow Christ into the desert. What does that mean? Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Right? We got to pray. You won't know how to fast well or give alms well unless you're praying well. You got to start with the prayer.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
I just say it this way. You want a challenge? Look up the number of screen time hours you have. Divide it by 10 and try to pray that long. See how shocking that is to say it like that? I didn't dare say, pray that number of hours, because we'd say, that's impossible. That's impossible. But it's not impossible to dissipatio our time on Netflix binging or TikTok scrolling or other video stream stuff, right? Whatever that, oh yes, sorry, is it that way? I don't even know. So So much waste. Okay, so we can pray. I don't have time. Get up earlier. Get up earlier. When I was getting ready for the Camino, I needed to walk 10 miles a day to prepare for the Camino because I was going to be walking about 16 to 24 miles a day. And so they said, you got to prepare. So I'm like, okay, how am I going to walk 10 miles? That's going to take me, get to the trail, walk 10 miles, and then get back. That's about a four-hour turnaround. Now, I live a really busy life in ministry, and I help people in real estate. I got 9 kids. This is a really busy life. I don't have 4 hours. Oh, yeah, I do. If I get up at 3 in the morning. I did. I got up at 3 in the morning, and I walked and got home at 7. I did that for a month. What did I do? But from 3 in the morning to 7 in the morning, I prayed. And I didn't need this. So all of a sudden, wait a minute. I'm praying 3+ hours a day in silence, outside in nature, away from technology, walking with the Lord on this journey, following His way. It changed my life. It's in our hands. It's possible. If we're willing to do it. Problem is, we're just not willing to do it. Get a treadmill. I know, I would do it. 3 in the morning, it was dark and it was cold. You know, by the time I'm not saying you have to do it right now. Can you get a treadmill? Right? You don't have to wait till sunrise. You don't got to do it at 3 in the morning. It's just my busy life, right? So now I don't have 3 hours, so I have to do it 1 hour in the morning. I do it 1 hour instead of eating, walk for 1 hour. And at night, everybody's in bed. I finish my time. That's how I do it now. When I go home tonight, I'm going to start walking. I got to finish my 10 miles, right? So fasting. You can fast more than you think, right? I am not a model of fasting, but I did a 21-day water fast. Changed my life.
Did you get sick?
I did not get sick. Not at all. I had a type of water that had the nutrients you needed. What do they call those?
Electrolytes.
I had electrolytes in the water, and I was fine. Changed my life. You know, and 21 days. You can do this. You can. If you pray to the Lord, throw the big thing out there and say, Lord, I can do this, right? And then there's action, right? If you start praying and you start fasting, you start doing penance, all of a sudden, you're going to see this dynamism come up in you, this courage come up in you, this willingness to say, what's at stake in this life? What's at stake right now in my life, but in this life, in this community? And all of a sudden now, we're going to start taking political action to overcome horrific laws marked entirely by propaganda that's going to advance abortion in this state. What's happening right now, literally today? Have you heard anything about it? Are you doing anything about it? Huge issue, right? I don't remember it went from the Senate. It's now hitting the House. That's not good news for us. And it's going to advance the ability of women to be able to have abortions, and their doctors are going to be able to hide the result of the abortion. Okay, are you aware of this? Right? This is terrible. This is just terrible. Are we hearing about it? Are we taking action on it? Right? But we don't even have to not just think of Olympia, right? Think about what's happening in our public schools with our poor kids, with this human sexuality curriculum that's out there. It's devastating. All it takes is one disturbing interaction event in the life of a kid to disorient their peaceful growth in their own sexual identity. Okay? I don't know if any of you have had in your family someone impacted by sexual assault or sexual abuse. It only takes one significant intervention into someone's life like that. And that can even be the horrific things that come through this to kids today, and that kid gets thrown off and their own sexual sense of self. God bless us. We have parents giving their kids this stuff, sending their kids to these public schools where this stuff is unfolding, and they're kept out. These poor kids. Our kids. Our kids. My kids aren't there, but they're still my kids. Do we care? Are we doing something about it? What can we do? Penance. We can do penance. What in the world? Fasting is a type of penance. You know what penance does? I have a whole talk on penance. It's about an hour long, so we'll be here until 9:50. It has nine different meanings of penance. I'm not going to talk about them all. I do want to talk about one of them. Penance rolls away the stone. What? Penance rolls away the stone. Where in the scriptures do you have someone saying, roll away the stone?
Jesus.
John 11. Raising of Lazarus from the dead. We think, what an amazing story. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus hears about Lazarus being sick. You're going to hear it in the gospel coming up in a couple of Sundays. Right? The raising of Lazarus from the dead. And in that story, what happens? Jesus, the one you love, is sick. That's how Lazarus is described. The one you love is sick. Jesus says, he is? Let's sit down and wait. He chooses to sit and let this unfold. He allows it to happen. Lazarus dies. Now he goes to engage. And when he shows up, Martha and Mary come out. He then goes out to the tomb and he says, we're going to raise your brother from the dead. He's been sick 4 days. He's going to smell, right? And he is moved so much so that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Does Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead all by himself, or does he ask for cooperation? He has cooperation, not just from God, but from us. How? He says, roll away the stone. That stone doesn't get rolled away. Guess who doesn't come out, even if he gets raised from the dead? Lazarus. He's stuck in that tomb unless someone is willing to roll away the stone. Okay, are you tracking with me? Jesus says, roll away the stone, and he relies on, looks to human cooperators to roll away a stone, not an easy task. It's heavy. It's hard. It's going to take a heavy lift of many. They get that stone rolled away. And then he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out jumping and screaming. No, he comes out bound hand and foot. And then what does he say next? Unbind him and let him go free. He's bound up because the burial cloth would have been, he had a head cloth, and there was a cloth that would go from feet over the head down, and then there were these ties that would have tied him. He would have come out like this. He needed human cooperators to unbind him and let him go free. I don't know if any of you follow any of the apparitions of the Blessed Mother. I am particularly devoted to Our Lady of Fatima. And Our Lady of Fatima showed a vision to the three visionaries, the vision of hell. And it showed souls falling like snowflakes into this sea of fire, falling into hell. And it shocked them. And the only thing that helped them overcome it was that she showed them a vision of heaven. But they said, why? Why are all these souls falling into hell? And her answer was, because there are none to pray and do penance for these poor souls that are near to death but far from God. Let me say that again. There are many souls that have journeyed through life that weren't given the gift we were given. Can you realize the gift you've been given? That you're literally in this room. I mean, the gift that you've been given. to be in this room. That you have this Catholic faith that is so in your life that it pulls you out to an event on the night of a Gonzaga basketball game. I mean, that's like saint level stuff. Blessed level, at least. I'm going to start calling you Venerable. It's Venerable Tim from now on, right? Blessed Matt. Okay, you guys are there. You're just about there. Do you want to pick up a devotion? Pick up the devotion to souls who are near to death but far from God. Why do I say that? So we're here 90 minutes. About 8 people die a minute. Okay, that's 720 people. While we're here, 720 people. Do you think that all 720 of those people were ready to meet the Lord? Free from mortal sin? Really? I mean, honestly, just think it through. Were they ready to meet their Lord, the judge, free from any mortal sin? I'm not betting on that. The visionaries, after the visions ended, these little kids, 10 years old, 9 years old, 7 years old, you know what they started doing? Penance. They'd give up milk in the hot day. They would pray rosaries. They would fast all the time. They'd say, no. And they'd say, why? I'm doing this for souls that are near to death and far from God. I don't want that soul to meet the Lord not ready. I saw them falling like snowflakes. I want to roll away the stone so that Jesus can call them by name out from death back to life. And if I have to do some penance so that that soul will have the stone rolled away from their lives and they will have a saving intervention from the Lord, sign me up. Sign me up for that. I will never eat chocolate again. Whoa, wait a minute. There are limits. Then there's the humility. I'll never eat chocolate again. Why did I eat chocolate today? Oh, the flesh, humility. God, help me. God, help me. But what are we willing to do for souls that are near to death but far from God? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to give up what is comfortable and easy? Are we willing to take on what's difficult? Are we going to deny ourselves simple pleasures? Are we willing to take on difficult tasks? Are we willing to pray vigorously, fast vigorously, do penance vigorously for them? And then we can take, those are actions to take that will bear incredible fruit in our lives. Boy, oh boy, that will be radiant. There's this beautiful principle in the life of faith. What is radiant is magnetic. What is radiant is magnetic. Saints were magnetic. Not because they were gorgeous. Like, you look at Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, and she was beautiful. Well, if you didn't know her, you didn't know anything at all about her, you just saw her picture, you'd just say, she's not that attractive. But all you had to do was what? Be near her, listen to her words, watch a video, and she was so magnetic because she was so radiant.
She's the most photographed woman in the world.
The most photographed woman in the world. And do you know what she said about that? She said, Lord, I don't want photographs, but I'm willing to make a deal, Lord. I will let myself have a photograph taken if every photograph that's taken of me, one soul gets freed from purgatory. How cool is that? I said the same thing, but it hasn't really had much of an impact yet. So maybe someday, maybe in the iPhone, right? You can get a whole bunch of pictures. So, but in what's on the wall of every chapel of Missionaries of Charity? It's one of the sections of one of the seven words. What was it? I thirst. And what's that from? St. Catherine of Siena, the dialogues. It's, I thirst for souls. I thirst. I don't want any soul to be lost. I've died for every soul that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's how Evangelium Vitae begins. Jesus Christ came to bring us joy. A life that is so full, it's filled to overflowing. It's filled with joy. It's filled with joy. Now, I know we came to talk about life issues, but life issues, it really comes down to the issue of our own holiness of life. We grow in holiness of life. Honestly, all this other stuff, God's going to take care of it. God will take care of it through us because we'll act with more courage, more vigor, more rigor than the world has seen. But without that sanctity, we're going to be churning a lot, but not getting a lot of fruit. It's going to mean a lot of crucifying of self and facing a lot of persecution. Get ready. You will be persecuted, okay? I've only tasted just little slivers of it because of my public role in having to take a stand for the church. You know where I was attacked the most? It was on the gay marriage issue. People scratched our car, stuff like that, right? It was really interesting. A lot of Catholics, yeah. Anyways, but, oh, poor me, right? Are you kidding me? Just read With God in Russia, and I'm going to say, oh my goodness. There's so much. But God did not place us in this moment in history, giving us the gifts and the time and the abilities that he gave us to do little things. There are great things that are in our hands at our disposal if we're willing to do them. This Lent, I really want to encourage you to take your entire life, the rest of what remains, and just say, Lord, I just give it all to you. Whatever you want with the rest of my life, it's yours. It's yours. Just strip from my life the things that don't honor you and place into my life the things that are meant to be the ways in which I will use the gifts of my time, my treasure, and my talent for your glory. Life issues are so crucial, from conception to natural death and all these issues in between. Things are in some ways getting better, but in other ways, oh, the tragedies are just still happening all around us. And so what we need is rooms like this filled to overflowing, right? With Catholics who are just stirred up, fired up, saying, when are we going to take to the streets, right? When are we going to take to the streets to do more? Because there's more for us to do. So I hope and pray that this was a blessing to you hearing this. It wasn't maybe an easy talk to hear. Then it was a penance. It was a penance for you, and you can accept it as that. Let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, thank you for all that you've given to us. And Lord, just give us the grace this Lent to fulfill the call that you have for us. And just that call, that's all we want to do, Lord, is whatever it is you have for us. And we make this prayer in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, welcome back to the program. So there you go. There was the completion of the talk that I gave on Tuesday evening back at Our Lady of Lourdes Cathedral. I hope and pray that was a blessing to you. It's one of those things that, again, during Lent, we just have more opportunities to take action to help us grow in faith, in faith formation events. It's funny, I was talking about this with one of Carrie's sisters. She was visiting, and she was saying, yeah, you're right. And so many of them come to me right in my inbox. I forgot all about that. But of course, yes, if you look at your email these days, you'll find that there are a ton of organizations, and many of them are online-based, that are offering Lenten devotions and things to pray or to take on during the Lenten season. At the end of the day, though, what I focused on in this presentation was that the gospel of life, where we are called upon to journey together in hope, and we are called upon to engage in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in relationship to the life issues, has a certain dynamism. And the dynamism is, if you will engage in your own relationship with the Lord through prayer, you'll find a desire to remove blockages, to engage in essentially in fasting, in asceticism, in acts of penance and penitence, precisely to cleanse the vessel, to expand the vessel, to remove blockages from that vessel of your soul, to continue to radiate more densely, more brightly with the glory of the Lord. And then flowing forth from that will be a dynamism to take action. If we too quickly move to action, then that action will too rapidly devolve to human thinking and fallen thinking. I know that that's true in my own regard. If my relationship with the Lord in prayer is not strong, and if I'm not willing to die to self and undertake active efforts to die to self, penance and fasting, then I become too self-reliant. I become too quickly attempting to strategize and make it happen and figure it out, rather than giving more space for the Lord, for divine providence, for my loving Father to step in and to do what is way beyond me, to do what I'm unable to do. And so I highlighted the dimension of penance as an aspect of our life of faith that in our time has been overlooked, but it's making a comeback for sure. And the Lord has even utilized Jesus has utilized his own mother in apparitions, and even in his own messages to saints like Sister Mary of St. Peter. That's the Holy Face devotion, which has as a central theme of penance and acts of reparation as penance for sins against the first, second, and third commandments. But Our Lady of Fatima, you know, her apparition was preceded by St. Michael the Archangel coming and saying, penance, penance, penance. That was the message that he brought to the three visionaries of Fatima. And as I mentioned, they lived their life from their encounter with the reality of heaven and hell, with this incredible desire to do penance, which is so striking, because you think about, if you want to make a difference in the issues of life, in the end, what really matters, what's really at stake in our lives is our forever, is our eternity. And if we could play a part in rolling away the stone from people encountering the Lord as they are near to death but far from God, that's a really a stunning way to spend your life. That is a way to have an impact on someone's eternal well-being, someone's eternal life. Now, if you do that, if you come to discover that and begin to foster that type of spirit within you, I think what you'll discover is that you'll have an increased vigor and rigor and courage and generosity towards life issues that are associated with life on the way, life on this journey towards home, towards heaven. And so what I'd like to do in the time that remains is share with you what I've identified as 9 different meanings of penance. And obviously in the small amount of time I have, I'll only be able to touch upon them briefly, but these are not going to be new. Many of these things you'll probably have heard before, but to kind of condense them all down quickly into a set of 9 that I'm going to present in about 15 minutes, I hope that that's a blessing. I hope that that is something that will be a bit fresh for you. And again, maybe motivating for you to undertake acts of penance. Okay, so let's talk about meanings of penance. And again, penance is what a pilgrim does who's walking on the path. A pilgrimage often would involve that the very act of walking on the path itself was an act of penance. Okay, well, what does that mean? What are the meanings of penance? The first is spiritual training. That's asceticism. So ascesis, or what then comes into English as the root of the word asceticism, has to do with the idea that as part of your spiritual training, as part of your spiritual formation, there is a training involved that involves these disciplining of your body. This disciplining of your body that disposes you, it prepares you for an encounter with God. That's what fasting does. So when you are fasting, when you are denying yourself things that are pleasant and comfortable and easy, these various forms of penance, you're doing this to attempt to prepare yourself for an encounter with God. I like that. I want to encounter the Lord. Well, let me try to remove the things that are blocking me or making me unaware of the Lord who's coming close to me. Okay, a second meaning of penance is that it is a form of penitence. Penitence means what? It means that it's an expression of sorrow for sin. And so not only is it a form of spiritual training, it's a form of expressing, Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that I have settled for less, fallen short. I've not honored you. I've betrayed you, Lord, in my relationship with you. And I want to express how sorry I am. And so when you say, you know, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, when you're praying the Confiteor at Mass, what do? You beat your breast, right? That literally, that act of beating your breast was a way of saying, this is how sorry I am. I'm beating my body into submission. I'm that sorry, Lord, that I've sinned against you. So penance has an expression of penitence or a deep sorrow for my own sins. Okay, what's a third meaning? A third meaning of penance is that it will uproot the causes of sin. Now, if you've heard me talk about confession before, one of the big things that gets talked about is that God's mercy addresses the effects of sin, right? God's mercy addresses the effects of sin. God's mercy washes away sins for those who come forward and say, Lord, I did it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And when you say, I forgive me, it's the Lord's mercy that addresses the effects where we have weakened or broken our relationship with the Lord. Well, what does penance have to do? Penance has to do with what's called satisfaction, that theological idea that says, I want to address the cause of my sin, not just the effect of it, right? Penance addresses the cause of sin. It is so helpful to us when we experience the idea of repeating a sin, committing a sin again after we've just gone to confession. How often does that happen? Too often. And so what can we do about that? Penance. Penance is a way for addressing the causes of sin, and it uproots them. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas says, is that penance will uproot the causes of sin. All right. Let's see here. So that is number three. All right, I'm moving along pretty fast here. Number four. Number four is reparation. So reparation is repairing the damage that sin has caused. And so when you think about doing penance, you think about the idea of how do I bring about a type of reparation for the damage of sin? Penance does that. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'll be back in a minute and I'll continue on. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Karn. It's great to be with you. So in this last section of the program, I'm unfolding the rest of the nine different meanings of penance, right? And for your penance, say five Hail Marys, right? That's when we tend to think of the word penance. And yet there's such a rich theology and spirituality to penance that we just haven't been taught. We really haven't been schooled in the meaning and importance of penance in the life of faith. And that actually is, it's really significant. It really holds us back from growing in accord with what God has for us. And so I really want to encourage you by sharing this, that if we want to have an impact on the gospel of life, we need to shine forth with greater radiance. And we're not shining forth with greater spiritual radiance because we're leaving penance on the sidelines. And that's not just me making that up. That's our spiritual tradition. That's in the scriptures. It's in our tradition. And yet it's been lost from view. We've swung so far away from it. And we live in a time with the comfort that the digital world offers to the physical world that we find ourselves so much more drawn to, well, things that lead to this spiritual deflation that I've talked so much about on the program. So I've already mentioned that penance is a form of asceticism or spiritual training. And so that's a part of spiritual formation. It's a form of penitence. We express sorrow for sin through acts of penance. Again, acts of penance are things like fasting, of course, but then doing difficult things that are not comfortable and easy, like taking a cold shower or sitting up straight in a hard back chair rather than in a comfortable chair. It's, people talk about other acts of self-denial where we deny ourselves the ability to, I'm not going to speak back when I want to speak my piece. I'm going to surrender that, or I'm going to give up other things that I found pleasant and comfortable and easy, whether it's how I'm sleeping or how long I'm sleeping, or it's other acts of self-denial. So I'll leave it like that. Okay. So uprooting, the third was it uproots the causes of sin. And that's so important for us when we are stuck in a repetitive set of sins in our lives and we don't know how to overcome them. It's not just a matter of going to confession to receive God's mercy, which addresses the effects of sin, but taking on penance to uproot the causes of those sins. And then the last one was it repairs the damage of sin. Not only does it uproot the cause of sin, it repairs the damage of sin. Think of it as a form of physical therapy for the soul. It's a form of spiritual physical therapy. So when you go do PT, when you're doing physical therapy, there's some part of your body that needs to be worked out, needs to be set free. There's some damage there that needs to be repaired. And so you have to take on certain exercises to accomplish that. That's what penance does. It's a form of repairing the damage. It's a form of reparation. And so that's the fourth meaning of penance. The fifth is it's not just reparation, it's also a form of standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. That is, it's a form of solidarity. It's a form of compassionate intercession. Okay, and I use that that adjective, compassionate, intentionally, because it comes from that phrase, which I mentioned in the talk, to suffer with, compassion. You are going to suffer with someone by interceding for them, but the intercession itself is by taking on this penitential practice, right? And so you think about, and I'll reference this one again a little bit later on, but when Jesus cast out the demon that the apostles couldn't, and they asked why they couldn't, he said, these kind only come out through prayer and fasting. So fasting has a capacity to bring about a more powerful, compassionate intercession, where I'm praying for you, I'm seeking to bring about your spiritual good by standing in the gap. So standing in the gap, remember, was when the Israelites would be surrounded by an enemy that would break down a wall. And as the wall got broken open, there was a gap in the wall. And the soldiers would have to go run and stand in the gap, right where the fighting became the fiercest, because now there was an entry point to get in. And they would have to put their lives at risk for the sake of overcoming that challenge. And so you think of doing penance not just for yourself, but you do penance for others. In fact, that's like I think about when I was walking the Camino. It was every step of the path, every step I took was a type of penance. I wasn't doing it for myself. It wasn't pleasant, fun, easy. I wasn't trying to, I wasn't doing it as a form of exercise, or I wasn't doing it as a nice little hike for a vacation to see beautiful sights. I was doing this, I was walking the path of a penitent as a pilgrim. I was walking the path of a pilgrim doing penance for my kids, for my wife, to lead and provide and protect them. All right. Next is, it's an expression of praiseworthy desperation. Whoa, that's quite a phrase. Penance is an expression of praiseworthy desperation. What do I do when I feel powerless and desperate, completely overwhelmed by a life circumstance or situation? What can I do? Well, I can do penance as a way of coming before the Lord and bringing what I have, which is my powerlessness. And so in the scriptures, fasting is a weapon of the powerless. And so you see that in 2 Maccabees 3. You see that in 2 Chronicles chapter, I think it's 5, verse 20 and 21. You have the fasting that is going on there in situations where they are completely overwhelmed by the enemy coming at them. And so it becomes an expression of, I am desperate for you, Lord. I'm desperate for you. And this is my way of expressing that. So there's I think that's actually the sixth way, the sixth way. The seventh way is penance as rolling away the stone ministry. And I love that, rolling away the stone ministry. And just, I'll reference it one more time. I think it's so important to hear it. John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, does not happen just because Jesus shows up and cries out, Lazarus, come forth. Like, Lazarus, you're dead, but I'm going to bring you back from the dead. Lazarus does not come forth without what? Without those who are present, who hear Jesus say, roll away the stone, and then they go ahead and they roll away the stone. That's hard work, and that they did it. And they did it at Jesus' command, because Jesus intends to bring that soul, that dead soul, Lazarus, from death to life. How would you like to be part of that ministry? How would you like to live in the recognition that Jesus is saying, roll away the stone today, tomorrow, the next day, roll away the stone. And you get to roll away the stone through your penance, through your acts of self-denial. And it's not fun. It's not pleasant. It's not easy. It's not what you want to do, but you do it. You just might be rolling away a stone so that Jesus can say to a soul that's near to death but far from God, come out. Come out from that place of spiritual death before your physical death, and I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring you to life. And you know what? That happened only because you said no to yourself and yes to the Lord. Wow. All of a sudden, penance has this exalted meaning that goes beyond anything that we ever imagined. Okay. Number eight is something that I just already mentioned and highlighted, but I'll bring it out again, is it's penance as a form of spiritual warfare. So not only as an act of praiseworthy desperation where you got nothing, but how about, you know what? I recognize there's a spiritual battle out there and I want to play my part. I want to play my part. Oh, well, I can't get out there on the streets and do that work of ministry. I can't take on at this age and stage in my life all these things that are going to make a visible difference in the world. But what I can do, I'm going to do. And that is, I'm going to do penance in a way that's hidden. It's not visible. People don't know about it. But I'm going to do it as my part in fighting this spiritual battle against the evil powers and forces that are attempting to undermine and overthrow the life of God's people and attempt to corrupt and corrode the core of our lives here in our world today, in America and in the world. And then last one, and certainly not least, is that penance is a form of not just spiritual training or penitence or uprooting the causes of sin or reparation or standing in the gap or expressing praiseworthy desperation or rolling away the stone ministry or even spiritual warfare. But it's also a form of expiation where you share in the redeeming work of Christ. Do you want to live an exalted life? Share in the work of bringing about the salvation of souls. Share in Christ's work of bringing about the salvation of souls. And he did that through his death, right? I referenced the inarticulate cry from the cross that was Jesus's act of intercession, gathering up all the petitions of those in the world. You can do that through your penance. There you go. 9 meanings of penance. God bless.